We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tom, you're leaving everybody guessing. You've said you'll take your time. Do you have any type of a timetable as to what you might want to do regarding your football career?
Jim, if I knew what I was going to do, I'd have already done it. Okay, I'm taking it a day at a time.
I sense you're antagonized by the question.
You're scratching.
It's only like the question scratchy that everybody wants to hear.
You're scratchy. I appreciate your asking. Thank you.
Everybody wants to know. Should I stay or should I go? Is he going to stay or is he going to go? Yeah, that was Jim Gray on the podcast for the great one, Tom Brady. Apparently not real happy with the question. It's kind of weird. It's his deal. You think maybe they talk ahead of time and, hey, I'm going to throw this at you, obviously. Or does he just go, hey, Jim, no, we've been together a long time. You just ask whatever. Because the second question should have been, where are you going in Babeland in the offseason? Babeland is what everybody wants to know. Where does he go? Is he looking to get away from celebrities and actresses and models? And is he looking to go a different direction?
It's just weird that he acts all agitated by that question. Like, why else would you have Tom Brady on a podcast right now?
It's his podcast.
Yeah.
And he's making the money on it.
So why, yeah, like, why else, why would you do it?
I have no idea, but people are going to want to know. Because this quarterback thing, man, is a year-round, never stops. The quarterback topic, unless you have one of those really, really special guys, everybody wants one of those guys, is looking, trying to figure out how we can get one. Some of it's the system, some of it's the coaching, and trying to figure out what's inside. And they're all different, right? I mean, they're... all the great ones, they're all a little different. Some have stronger arms than others. Some have a quicker release than others. Some have better teams around them than others. I mean, to be fair, but I would love for all of you right now to get on everybody. Yeah, you don't know how to pick a quarterback. I do. Yeah? Well, then you tell me, who's going to be the Joe Burrow of this class coming out? One guy. You just let me know. You let me know if it's going to be Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud or maybe Anthony Richardson. All that talent for Florida that we didn't get to see every week, up and down. Hooker, Levis, who's it going to be? Which one of those guys do you trust to go, I think that's going to be the blue chipper of that group? Because it seems like one of the guys every year does work out at a high level. Sometimes to be able to find those guys, those special guys. Hell, you hit two, you hit three, and you know what? You look at Tua's class actually ended up being a really good class. Really, really good class of quarterbacks. Then you look at some of the other ones, and they have been awful. Awful. So, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, who looks great throwing the ball, Anthony Richardson, you've seen it. Gator fans have seen, well, they've seen, if you watch Anthony Richardson, you've seen the really good And then you've seen he didn't even look like the guy that played last week. Will Levis. Some people think Will Levis is the guy. I guess he went to Penn State and then transferred to Kentucky to play. I have no idea. And I know at some point I'm going to listen to everybody and somebody's going to get me to come on here and act like an idiot, like I know who's going to be the best of that group. And I have no idea. None. Wouldn't even – they're breaking down how far they throw. I guess a lot of it's going to be who gets to go or there's some good guys to throw to in a good system that allows them to have some success will be part of this show for sure. Anyway, Kyle Krabs, our host of Locked On Fins podcast and also does the Draft Network, is going to join us. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that he thinks the Dolphins can do with their second-round pick and their two third-round picks. I like to call them the quality picks of the first three rounds to try to find some needs and what he thinks the Dolphins might do. And some of the top of the 31 free agents that the Dolphins have, which ones would you like to have back? What would be the top of your list on bringing guys back? I got to tell you an interesting one that I've just been reading about. A guy that's not a free agent, but I don't want him back, but a lot of people do, is Byron Jones, who's had a full year off to come back. And if you're going to play him in a system that he plays best, he can be a really good player coming off his injury. I hold grudges, so I'm the wrong guy, because you miss 17 games and you're supposed to be back for the start of the season. I'm having a real problem with it. And so I'm the wrong guy where the team can't get wrapped up in the fact that they just paid a lot of money to this guy and like, it doesn't matter. Hey, listen, he's healthy. He looks great running around now. He just needed a full season off. How do you feel about that, Woody? Would you trust him coming back?
Oh, man, that's such a tough call. I mean, I guess, Joe, if he's willing to play, I mean, if you talk to him and it's, you know.
Well, those guys defended him like, hey, man, it's not him.
Strange thing.
He tried everything to try to come back. I listened to GM and head coach.
Well, here's the other issue. I think the real issue is that nobody knows the truth is what really happened, right?
Oh, no. I know who knows. The doctors know for
sure. Yeah, there you go. So, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't want to judge this guy and say he could have played, you know, he could have come back. So that's where it gets a little dicey.
Should have never said he was going to be back for the start of the season.
That may be so, but that's where it gets a little dicey to me, is I don't know what the truth of the story is, right? I mean, I like to think that he couldn't have played, right? I don't know why you wouldn't have come back.
No, I always think –
you were with a very competitive team. Right. I don't know why you wouldn't have come back if you could have. So, like, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I don't. Are we going to find out the truth? What really happened? And then you got guys like, people were taking. Who was it? One of the defensive coaches kind of took a little swipe at him. Was it Pat?
Sam,
right?
Madison
or Sam? Yeah, he took a little.
He just said there's nothing to talk about. He's never here. He's not here.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. That's a really tough call. But I think the other thing though, Joe, is we don't really know the full extent, like, of the truth of that story, right?
So this is supposed to be a deep draft for cover corner. So you just go draft the best guy in the second round and go, hey, let's get him ready to go?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
So many other needs on the team. So, like, I mean, again,
and then Nick Needham's coming back. See, that's the other problem where this got worse. If you had Nick Needham, he got injured. By the way, he is a free agent coming off an injury, still a young guy. Yeah, it's you just don't want to get where you got to play all those special teams, guys. You just don't. And they were a nice story, and I'm not taking anything away from those guys, what they're able to do, but you want to get some guys that cover for a living full-time. And I saw some guys going, yeah, Byron Jones could be back. We'll see how he looks coming back after having the year off. And I'm going, what? Have him back? He just did something we've never seen before. The team said he should be back for the start of the season. Then he should be back in a couple weeks. Then he never plays. I've never seen that in 30 years of radio. Never seen that. Never seen it. I don't know if he ever got on the field in his to cover. I don't know if he ever got past the stationary bike or the jog with the rubber band around him with the trainer, like, you know, running with him a little bit.
You think we find out, though, like what the deal is?
No.
Or was?
The team took the high road and said he tried everything and he couldn't play. And But
you don't buy it is basically what you're
No, because about. They're super positive on everything. I would have loved that, by the way. I'm not saying I wouldn't have loved it, but I don't buy it because everything's really positive. There was nothing negative said this year. Everything was positive
except some guys. If he could have played, why wouldn't he have played? That's what I'm like. That's the part I don't understand.
I agree. He probably wasn't 100%, and they said, hey, we think you can play now, and he goes, nah, it still doesn't feel right. I can't play the way I did last year.
Why, though? Like, why wouldn't you do anything and everything to get on the field? Because this is a team, again, like you talk about their window of opportunity, and they were a few players away, Joe. I mean,
he saw it.
Yeah, he saw the weeks out there in that Buffalo game. Someone was willing to make a play.
You don't think he saw the special teams corners?
I still be playing.
Supposed to be on fly, playing flyers and coverage teams, and out there playing. And he knows. I mean, like, yeah, I guess he could really use me right now, huh? Can't go. I don't know, man. You would. And by the way,
I like
Woody,
to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. Like,
you would like to think that. You would like to think that Byron Jones, a competitive guy, because he does play at a high level, minus the interceptions.
It's hard to get to that level and not be a competitive guy.
It's just a weird one.
Yeah, like, I just don't understand why.
Did he get a surgery too late?
Something's got to be up there, Joe. I got to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. Like,
did the injury go from an Achilles to a knee? Did it go to Achilles' ankle to an – I don't know. By the way, But they got some tough decisions to make. That's why we're going to go to Kyle Krabs and get his take here coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk to him. But first, want to tell you about my friends at Era Round the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing. 30-something years ago, Big Daddy Lenny started this company and said, guys, it's going to be built on great service. There's a lot of air conditioning companies. There's a lot of plumbing companies. We're going to be built on great service, which starts 7 days a week. We're not telling people to wait till Monday morning. We're going to have a lot of trucks out there. We're going to have trained and certified technicians ready to go. We're going to go get the best plumbers in the business, licensed, experienced plumbers that can work 7 days a week, because we're going to have air conditioning and plumbing problems on the weekend too. And you want to get the best people in the business, licensed, experienced plumbers. That's what Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing have. Some of the best people in the business for you. 7 days a week, indoor, outdoor problems, not a problem. I've had both. Matter of fact, they're coming out today again to take care of another toilet that's just not working. Hey, I want to let you know we're also the Water Heater Kings of South Florida. We got a box truck filled with all size Rheem water heaters. So the goal is this: same day installation. Take that old one, get it out of there, and get the new one in for you. So you get that hot water and you never miss a beat. Same day installation, that's the goal. Financing plans to help you out. Just call 855-PLUMBER. It's 855-PLUMBER. Family owned still. Eric, Mike, Chippy, and all the rest of the boys over there ready to take care of you. Check out ATC's Google reviews. They have over 1,200 Google reviews and a 4.4 out of 5 rating for you at Air Around the Clock Air Conditioning and Plumbing. Call 855-PLUMBER today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's go right to him. Kyle Krabs, the Draft Network, Locked on the Fins podcast. Been real busy trying to figure some things out as now for teams out of the playoffs, starting to look at all this young talent. Kyle, good morning. How are you, bud?
I'm doing well, Joe. How we doing?
We're doing great. Thank you. And actually, already jumped into some of this stuff that we're going to talk to you about. You know, the Dolphins have a second-round pick and two third-round picks. And listen, man, with all these free agents and some of these guys going to be expensive, you still got to hit on draft picks. And you can't just trade them for superstars with a lot of money. I just want to get your thoughts, first of all, because you've been studying this draft. What's the deepest positions in the draft?
Yeah, I think the good news for the Dolphins is some of the areas of most prominent need when you kind of look at where the roster's at right now and not knowing who's going to be back are some of the deepest positions. I look at the cornerback position. You're going to find a lot of starters on day two in this year's draft at the corner position, whether you run man or zone schemes. The tight end position has some top-end talent, but really you feel like the strength of this tight end class, just similar to last year's, is in the middle rounds where Miami obviously has three picks on the back half of the top 100. And I wanted to just follow up on something you said at the top here, Joe, where you talked about the importance of hitting for draft picks. And, you know, Miami having these draft selections, in spite of being aggressive and trading their first-round pick, and we've seen some teams that have had success with this kind of ideology of spending their top draft capital on known assets in the NFL, but it does make your ability to find hits on day two and early on day three that much more important. I look at the Los Angeles Rams, and I don't think the Dolphins are going to be to that extreme of what the Rams were in the build-up to them winning a Super Bowl and then suddenly falling off the way that they did. But before they won the Super Bowl, they had like a six-year stretch and window where they were aggressively spending their top picks, but they were able to sustain that because they were hitting on their day two picks and they found some gems on day three. So for Miami, you know, we're in a little bit of a transitional period as far as how we're spending our draft capital versus what it was at the beginning of the rebuild. So like this year's draft class, you got to find some contributors early, and then you got to feel good about those guys staying in your system as guys that are currently on the team are getting ready to leave.
All right, so we have 31 free agents, and we'll talk in just a moment about some of the guys you think you need to get back. But so I want to talk about the cornerback position. We found a Kader Kahou. We got a rookie free agent that can really play. X-Man's going to be back most likely. We were just talking about Byron Jones, who supposed to be there, didn't end up playing, was supposed to play basically the full season. The team came out and said it wasn't his fault. He worked his ass off. He just couldn't get back on the field. So now he's healthy this offseason. Do you bring him back? You still have him under contract. Is there a chance you bring, like, let it all go from whatever it was last year? Only the doctors and the player know for sure. But what do you do?
Yeah, so it's an interesting situation, and I think the fact that the Dolphins kind of have until potentially have until June 1st to figure out if they need to move on from Byron or not, it might make some of those decisions for you, right? Because if you move on from Byron before that without the post-June 1st designation for a cut, you're really only going to save a couple million dollars. If you move on from him after June 1st, just kind of like a big landmark on the NFL offseason calendar, you can split the dead cap payment between two seasons and suddenly you're saving a significant amount more money. So the Dolphins, you know, they could move on from Byron early and just say, hey, we're going to cut him. It's going to be a post-June 1st designation. We're not going to have access to that portion of the cap space that we have until after June 1st. So if we go over that in the meantime, we got to get rid of somebody else. We got to restructure contracts. So this has the opportunity to almost kind of let how the chips fall elsewhere with how your offseason goes, make the decision for you if it's worth moving on from Byron Jones, or if you get to the draft and there is a big run on corners and whatever system they end up bringing in, you don't really like the prospects that are available and we don't spend free agent money there because we have a lot of money wrapped up in the secondary, then maybe you get to June 1st and you look at your roster and you say, hey, it does make sense for us to have Byron Jones on the roster this year to play corner for us. So I wouldn't dismiss it. I think they actually have a little bit of a luxury here of time to let how the position unfolds with right. the rest of the needs that they have to make the decision for him.
All right, I want to ask you about another guy that was maybe the best slot corner in football 2 years ago. He got injured, Nick Needham. What do you do there with Nick? You bring him back off the injury, or is it just going to come down to dollars? If we can get him on the cheap, we'll take him. If somebody wants to pay him, he's yours.
Yeah, well, especially with Byron Jones under contract and Xavien Howard, you know, those are two big money corners, right? So putting too much money in that position, especially with what they're starting to pay guys up front, I think it's going to have to be economically friendly for the Dolphins to get it done, especially with the unknown of the recovery timetable. He suffered a serious injury. It sounds like they've already expressed interest in bringing him back. I think it's a good idea. He played some safety for you. He played some outside corner in a pinch. He played in the slot. Like, that kind of versatility can be really good, especially with the kind of versatility that we saw from Cater this year. So I think if the dollars make sense, it's absolutely a guy that you bring back because he knows his teammates. They got a lot of sweat equity together. He's definitely proven he has the work ethic to improve himself as an undrafted free agent who kind of turned into a staple player down the stretch for the Dolphins the last couple seasons. So I do think that there's going to be some financial considerations that ultimately decide whether or not they get that done. And that'll probably be dictated by the medicals and what kind of market he can generate on the open market with that injury that's kind of lingering over his head.
Kyle, I think we agree Mike Gesicki is going to be gone, right? Or 32 catches in a regular season or whatever it was, and five touchdowns. It was you know, fine, but not close to his numbers. But they paid him $10-plus million. I don't expect he'll be back. Do you agree?
I do agree. And I'm not Chris Greer, but if I were Chris Greer and I had a chance to get a mulligan on one thing from a player personnel perspective, giving Mike the tag and then not moving on from Mike with the tag, you know, he's had a great five-year run here. But I just think you look at the writing on the wall. We kind of anticipated it before the season, but his strengths and his skill set as compared to the needs of the tight end room in this offense, I just think that the money that you spent was not going to pay dividends relative to the production that you got. And you mentioned 32 catches and the five touchdowns were nice. But yeah, I would generally agree with you. I don't think it makes sense for Mike from a financial perspective with what the Dolphins would probably offer value him at versus his role in usage if he's looking for opportunity.
So let's move on with the rest of them. Not to call anybody out, but Durham Smythe, Hunter Long, and Tanner Connor are what you're looking at. What do you see? That group got to be upgraded? Do they come back with that group? What do you expect?
Yeah, I personally just from watching the film and knowing how the run game's supposed to work and tight ends being able to capture the edge for you on the perimeter. And you know, we heard all about Mike McDaniel and his run schemes and the wide zone system with Shanahan in San Francisco. You look at the tight ends out in San Francisco and they're still playing, right? You know, there's a different level of physicality and effectiveness in the running game for that tight end room versus the tight end room that we have here. And, you know, we run a lot of volume in the passing game through a couple of top shelf wide receivers in the entire NFL. And I think that really mitigates your need of having somebody who's going to command a lot of targets in the passing game. And because of that, you need guys who can win for you in the run game. And Joe, you know, this as a former tight end, it's one of the toughest positions because you have to at times be able to block like an offensive lineman. And then other times you have to be able to get open like a wide receiver. So, you know, it's a really unenviable two sides of a coin to have to be able to fulfill. But I think if you look at what Miami needs at the position, it's very much more skewed towards winning the line of scrimmage, winning in the run game, being able to block and have a lot of physicality. And I just don't think that group was good enough this year for the run game to be where they need it to be.
All right. So right now, of course, everybody's writing about it. It's no secret. Empty backfield. Everybody's a free agent. Don't you have to draft one of those first three picks has to be, or one of those top picks has to be a running back in this draft?
I don't know if it necessarily does if they're able to get these guys back. You know, Mostert came in and had a career year. But you look at his trends, right? He's dealt with injuries in the past. He's on the wrong side of 30 at this point. So financially, I don't know how big of a market he's earned himself on the open market, because teams look at a 30-year-old running back and, you know, they don't like to spend at that. So I think there's a realistic chance for Miami to kind of run some of this group back. And if that's the case, I do think it alleviates the issue. But if they don't, then I absolutely think you're going to have to find a contributor there. Whether that comes with a day two draft selection or another free agent of significance. But if they are going to draft a running back, you'd almost like to see him find a couple more picks in the middle round. And I'm sure that they could get that done. But there's a big gap from that second, third round selection until the next time they pick. So you get into positional value debates and all that kind of stuff. I just think if you're going to go that route in the draft, you'd probably be well served to get yourself a couple more mid-round draft selections throughout the course of the build-up to the draft itself.
Channing Tindall's got to come back and play, right? The Georgia third-round pick, our highest draft pick last year. I mean, he's got to be on the field this year and not on special teams, but in some defensive packages, yes?
Yes, and I would assume, and I'm not necessarily surprised that it was kind of a transition year for him when you consider he played 500 snaps at Georgia. His last season there. So this isn't a guy that's played a lot of football, right? So then you make the jump in competition and go to the NFL. And I kind of get the sense of, you look at Tindall and you look at Ezukama as a guy who, you know, we were asking why he wasn't playing, and they talked a lot about him getting into the system and the scheme versus what they did at Texas Tech. And I kind of felt like those two draft picks were picks for this offseason, almost, because you had veteran players in those roles on short-term deals. And if that was the plan, if that was the intention, well, now these guys have to take the step this offseason and be ready to fill some of those roles, because you have Duke Riley and Elandon Roberts as expiring contracts at linebacker. You have Trent Sherfield as an expiring contract at wide receiver. We're probably not going to see Cedric Wilson brought back at the financial point that he's owed this offseason. If they can find a trade partner for him, they could save like $7 million in cap by trading him. So those kinds of players, if you're going to transition away from them, these two guys are guys that have to be ready to step up and fill roles for you defensively and offensively, yes.
So I want to ask you this one too. 31 free agents, you got to have some of them back, especially if you get a decent price on them, obviously. Who would you like to see come back of those guys? Who would be on top of your list? Just a couple of names.
Yeah, you're going to show my football nerdiness here. Thomas Morstead's at the top of my list.
Yeah, I got him one. I'm with you.
He had an awesome year this year. He was one of the few bright spots on special teams. He was super reliable. You look at any number of metrics and numbers as far as net yards and yards per punt, and punts inside the 20, and Morstead's like top five in Dolphins history for single season performances and like all these statistics. An awesome year. So Morstead's one for me. I know he's an older guy, but look, punters, if they want to, they can punt until the cows come home.
Right.
Right? So you don't got to do too much physicality. So, and Tom's a big dude. Thomas Morstead's one. Eric Rowe is somebody, if the financials are right, I wouldn't mind coming back either. I thought he's had a really nice kind of transition throughout his career to being a safety who I thought he did pretty well in the run game this year. He wasn't quite the tight end eraser that he was back in 2020 this year as far as playing in coverage. But if the dollars make sense there, I really like how he contributed once Brandon Jones went down in certain roles. I just don't think the coverage upside is quite there anymore for him. And Brandon Schell, you know, if Brandon Schell's your swing tackle, I think you're in a pretty good position based on how Brandon Schell played this year. So those are a couple of guys that throw Raheem Mostert's name out there as well that really stand out to me as guys that I'd really like to have back.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting, because you're going to have to try to get some of those guys back as they fill this roster back around that core of guys that they have. And the backup quarterback, will you come back with Teddy after what happened last year? Or can you find somebody else? I don't want to draft another quarterback and have him as one of the three. Do you?
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I got to be honest, Joe, the Dolphins are going to have to spend more on non-starting quarterbacks than any other team in the league. It's just the way it's going to be until Tua has some sustained reliability from a durability standpoint. I do think he's far enough along in his career at this point where I don't think you have to have a guy who's an older quarterback in the room anymore. Tua has played enough football at the NFL level. And from a financial standpoint, well, what's the contract value of a third or fourth round pick at the quarterback position versus signing Teddy Bridgewater or Jacoby Brissett for $6 million in free agency? It's about $5.5 million in cap space. So I think whoever they end up settling on, they need to identify somebody whose skill sets more closely mirror what Tua does well. Because the offense is too different when it's Tua versus when it's not Tua. And it's been that way for two seasons now. And the performance speaks for itself as far as wins and losses and what they do when Tua's on the field and what the offense looks like. So whether that's drafting a kid like Jaren Hall out of BYU, who I really like, I think he's got some comparable skills. He's athletic. He's a former baseball player, so he's got a really live arm. Or if they end up finding somebody in free agency, I don't know. But it's going to be a really hard pill to swallow to continue throwing $7 million at a backup quarterback every year for a guy who's going to come in and can't run anything close to what your offense is supposed to look like.
So I got to hit you with this. Just one last question. I want you to put your neck out there, if you don't mind. Who's the Joe Burrow, the closest thing to Joe Burrow of this draft class coming out at quarterback for you?
Exactly. I'll be honest, I really don't like this quarterback class. I think there's significant questions with all the top guys. I'll give you two names as day three targets, and one of them's Jaren Hall, the kid from BYU, who has been the starter the last 2 years after Zach Wilson left. The other one is a really, really physically gifted kid. He'll probably be there at the end of day three. I don't think he's necessarily ready to be your backup quarterback. So if you want to roll with Skylar Thompson, and this guy is another developmental type, and whether or not that's a formula for success is a different conversation, but just a likable developmental quarterback on day three. His name's Tyson Bagent from Shepherd University in West Virginia. He rewrote the entire NCAA passing records. He has more career touchdown passes than any player at any level of competition in NCAA. He's going to be down at the Senior Bowl next week. 6'3", 215, live arm, really likable as far as his tools and physicality. And somebody's going to have a lot of fun trying to develop this kid. So a couple developmental type names for you. I don't have a Joe Burrow name for you, but that's why Joe Burrow's Joe Burrow.
That's right. That's a good point. That, you know what? You got me on that one. Kyle, thank you. I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you. A lot of good stuff.
My pleasure, Joe. Anytime.
Kyle Krabs, the Draft Network and Locked On Fins podcast. Man, tried to put him on the spot a little bit there. It didn't work. All right. Hey, got to take a quick break here. We do have a lot more stuff to get to. Like Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. 30-plus years in the business, man, and when he calls and he's fired up, hey, fixed-rate mortgage is back in the force, Joe. Lock it in today, baby. Cash out. You ready to go? New home purchase? Let's do it. Debt consolidation? Let's do it. Let's get it done. Home improvement. Approvals in hours, not months. It's about great service. It always has been with Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage and his 30 years of experience getting you approved quickly so you don't get the runaround when the banks say it's going to take a while to get this done. We're really backed up. Michael Kotze's getting it done in half the time, if not less. So, hey, he doesn't work banker's hours. He makes that real clear. And listen, whatever it is, foreclosure, bailout, reverse mortgages, investment, property mortgages, you need Michael Kotze in your life. Rates are continuing to go up, but not with Michael Kotze. Choice Mortgage is ready to help you right now. Call 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730. You need that equity out of the home. Let's get rolling today, man. Once again, 561-441-2730 from Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage, NMLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender. Call him today.
It's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Joe's making his way back here, so we'll just jump right into the headlines as he saunters back here. He's out there talking to some of the people from the other radio station, so we'll jump right into the headlines here. And how about this? Pickleball starting to pick up some national coverage here as the season gets set to start. This is the Association of Professional Pickleball, and pickleball will be picked up on ESPN and CBS networks. Thank you for joining us here, Joe. That's fine. I said you were
Everybody's yapping, man. Oh, my God. Everybody's doing a lot of yapping today, Woody. I apologize.
That's fine, Joe. The Association of Pickleball Professionals, they are going to have their games, matches. What do you call them, matches?
I'm guessing matches like tennis, right?
Yeah, I guess so. So it's going to be on the ESPN and CBS networks here. They actually have a TV deal. 12 hours of live matches and highlight-driven programs on the CBS Sports Network, 8 hours of event recap telecast on ESPN2 cable network, and over 200 hours of live streaming coverage on ESPN Plus and App TV.
All these athletes are actually buying teams.
Yes, they are.
And now there's more charity events, and I just recently got a call to play in one. From a guy that was an active pitcher, now a former pitcher for the Marlins, who's having a big charity event, and they're playing pickleball. And they call thinking, well, he plays tennis. He probably plays pickleball. I don't play pickleball.
You will soon, probably. All right. Did you see this, the Larsa Pippen, Marcus Jordan update here?
No, what's the latest?
Yeah, so I guess they're official here. They posted a picture together. At you know that Jordan store trophy room, I think it's in Orlando if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, they posted a picture and there's a huge mural behind them of MJ's jersey. Tough man, tough scene for old Scotty there.
Oh, wow. That's all right.
It's official though. They're definitely
it's official.
Yeah, they're holding hands in the picture and
yeah. He's falling for now.
It's a strange one, man. I was looking through some of her stuff.
This is one of the strangest ones.
She lives in Miami. I mean, she's
yeah,
here all the
she's
time.
On that
yeah.
show. She's
oh,
on
yeah.
–
she's here all – yeah.
Miami Housewives, right?
I
that crazy
know.
One. You don't pay attention
I
to that
don't
stuff?
I don't watch those shows.
Where they get them all together and they
no,
just
no,
rip
I know
each
what
other.
They are.
You're a backstabbing bitch. No wonder he doesn't want to be married to you. No wonder you're going through this. And by the way, your surgeries on your face look terrible. Everybody's talking about you. And they go back and forth, just ripping each other. Like, Larsa, really, you're one to talk?
Well, this ought to be a good storyline for whatever program she's on.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
It's a weird one, though, Woody. I'm with you. That's a strange one.
Speaking of Mr. Jordan here, by the way, we have some very rare Air Jordan 13s coming out here. You know the Jordan 13s are actually the ones our friend Ray was wearing this morning. He had to let me into the building. I lost my card. But he was wearing them. They have a little hologram on them. A little like, you don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't have any
anyway,
idea.
Anyway, they're the Jordan 13s, and there's a very special Notorious B.I.G. 45th birthday sneaker that they never actually released. So there's 23 pairs of these things. Sizes 7 to 13. Any idea what you think these could go for here, Joe?
$1,000.
They're expected to sell between $2,300 and $5,200 for the shoes.
I have never owned a pair of MJs.
You never owned a pair of Jordans? Really?
Nope.
They're pretty much Nikes, but
yeah.
Yeah, with a different logo.
I know all those guys that are Jordan brand in college sure like having all that Jordan stuff.
All right, and finally, the Powerball jackpot's rolling over. $526 million will be on Wednesday's drawing. Nobody won yesterday, so we're going to do it again.
Okay.
Everyone's still alive. I think so. We went through this last time. I believe you have to buy new tickets each time.
Yes.
Which is ridiculous. Like,
well, you think you should just pay once and you're in?
Yeah.
Well, how's it going to grow?
Until someone wins. Well, you buy more to increase your
chances. Everybody wants to get that thing up to a billion, man.
I guess. Tickets are $2. Drawing 10:59 p.m.
Mm.
The night of the The night of the winnings here. Wednesday night.
Large amounts of money on these things. Wow.
So we have to hit the break here, but I'll tease this for you tomorrow. We had the nominees for the Razzies, which are the worst movies of the year.
Some I like.
Yeah. There's a lot of people. There's actually a lot of people we both like on this list. So we'll get to the Razzies tomorrow. So we'll look forward to that. We'll have something to talk about tomorrow.
Can you tease me with one?
Did you see, let's see what got a lot of bad pub here. Did you see the movie Blonde, the Marilyn Monroe remake?
No.
That one did not do well. Disney's Pinocchio. Then another one called Morbius.
No.
We'll get to those tomorrow.
All right, that's a good teaser, Woody. Good teaser. Going to 8 o'clock hour. Pete Prisco going to join us 8 o'clock hour. Ron Rothstein will join us early 9 o'clock. We'll talk about the Heat. Because they got a big game tonight against the Boston Celtics, who lost last night in Orlando. We'll get you caught up on all of that with a sports update coming up here with Woody in just a couple minutes. But first, I want to tell you about Baptist Health South Florida. It just gets bigger and better every day. You talk about something that's really good. Top 50 sports medicine program in the country. You know about Baptist Health South Florida, just continues to grow all over South Florida, but their sports medicine program is one of the best in the country. People ask, where do the pros go, Joe? I get it all the time, and I understand. Enter Miami, the Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, and the Miami Dolphins all trust the great doctors and specialists that take care of their teams every day, travel with their teams, are there to take care of the surgeries for the team. We got specialists, knee, shoulder, foot and ankle, hand, back, hip and knee replacement. So that's why so many high school, college, and professional athletes are already going to Baptist Health South Florida. And I got really good news for Broward County. For years now, we've all had to go down to Doctor's Hospital, which is fantastic, where all those doctors are, most of them are working out of, to get surgeries. Well, now we got a brand new beautiful facility on 595 and Pine Island in Plantation. Dr. Swartzen, some of the best doctors in South Florida all working together. One goal every day, get you healthy. In-house physical therapist to help you achieve your goals along with the doctors. All you have to do is visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. Make an appointment today. Hey, man, let's get you healthy. Back out playing the sports you love the most.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.